Thank you. So there are all. I will present you a global database of elemental mercury exchange between atmosphere and terrestrial surfaces. So this work is performed in DRI in Reno, Nevada. And the first question is why we look at the mercury. Why the mercury? Because it's a complex chemical with a complex biogeochemical cycle. The first reason is that we have different type of chemical forms. For example, the elemental gaseous mercury, but we have also the divalent mercury and particulate mercury. And between these different forms, we could observe various chemical reactions, like a redox reaction, or adsorption or desorption. And in this study, we focus only on gaseous elemental mercury. And as already mentioned, we focus on this element because it's a volatile element, and so it could be exchanged between atmosphere and surfaces. So that's why we look at this element, and you can observe that in some land cover, particularly for terrestrial surfaces and atmosphere exchange, we could have a very high flux of mercury from the surface to the atmosphere. So that's why we look at that. And in this study, we first focus on this exchange between terrestrial surface and atmosphere, and in the future we will be interested on the ocean atmosphere exchanges. So to measure the mercury exchanges, we have two possibilities. The first one is using the dynamic flux chamber in this part. And to do that, we compare the concentration of atmosphere in inlet and outlet of the chamber, and taking into account the surface of this chamber. The second possibility is the micrometeorological method, and to do that we calculate a gradient of concentration of mercury between two different heights, and using some micrometeorological parameters in order to understand the turbulence of the atmosphere. And a couple of studies estimate the mercury emission. And for example, Erickson et al. In 2006 estimate for all entire United States, they estimate two different numbers, one for background soils and one for enriched soils. And they highlighted that the background soils are very important, relatively important, with the same order of magnitude than the enriched soils. So it's very important to take into account all different surfaces. And based on this kind of work, we wanted to better understand the different exchanges. And to do that, we wanted to take into account all papers published in this mercury exchanges. So we have currently 92 scientific publications, chronologically plotted in this graph, and we expect to find 50 new papers in the future. And this includes 81 field publications and 11 experimental publications. We have 776 average mercury flux data. Average concerns sometimes daily average, sometimes monthly average. It's very difficult because it depends on the publication. And we estimate at about 100,000 raw data, but we don't have access to this data. Our database is structured like that, with three types of data. The first one are the mercury data, like the atmosphere concentration, the soil concentration, the mercury flux. But we have also methodological data, like the type of method, the type of analyzer, the duration of measurement. And we have various environmental parameters, the land cover, the weather, the type of soils and chemistry of soils, for example. And between all these different data, we have some correlation because we know that the mercury flux could be influenced by some environmental or methodological parameters. If we look at the repetition of the different studies, we can see that most studies are located in North America, sometimes in Brazil, in Europe and China, but we have a large part of the world without any information about these mercury exchanges. All sites are classified using this classification, and we wanted to distinguish the background sites compared to enriched sites, including contaminated, naturally enriched, or mining sites. And to do that, we use the soil concentration of mercury, and we use, with a safety margin, 0.3 micrograms of mercury per kilogram of soils. And finally, we observe that sometimes some background sites are probably atmospherically influenced by some local or regional activities. So we decided to distinguish the background sites from atmospherically influenced using the atmospheric concentration. And we take 3 nanograms of mercury per cubic meter of atmosphere. And if we look at the distribution of these different classes, we could observe that the enriched sites are very well represented. So it's probably a bias in our database. So now, let me show you the different the distribution of fluxes, and you have in the left plot the emission with positive fluxes, and in the right part of this plot deposition fluxes with negative fluxes. So first the background fluxes. We could observe some deposition fluxes, but the major part are located in emission parts with normal distribution, and the maximum fluxes reach 17 nanograms per square meter and per hour, which is higher than the background fluxes defined in the literature of 10 nanograms per square meter and per hour. If we look at now the atmospherically influenced class, we could observe that we have generally higher fluxes than the background sites. And then for contaminated sites, naturally enriched, and finally the mining sites, we could observe sometimes very high fluxes, with the maximum for mining sites with probably around 100,000 nanograms per square meter and per hour. So we know that some parameters could control and influence the mercury flux. So in this plot, in this table, I will show you the number of studies, the number of positive in green or negative in orange relationship correlation between the mercury flux and these controlling factors. And we can observe that some parameters are are frequently investigated in the literature. It's, for example, the soil or air temperature. But we have also the solar radiation, and we know that the solar radiation could be influence with the photochemistry, photochemical reaction in the atmosphere for the transformation of mercury. But we think that UVB could also influence that, but we don't know exactly what is the influence of UVB or the effect of heat, because we have these parameters are very poorly understood in the literature. And if we look at the data from our database, we could observe a positive effect in background soil site for solar radiation. But if we look at the enriched site, we observe we don't observe any effect. And another example is the soil moisture without any effect for the background soil. However, we can observe a positive relationship between soil moisture and mercury flux for enriched soil. So it's very important to distinguish the enriched site from the background site, and particularly because we could have a very huge heterogeneity between the sites. If we look at now the effect of some environmental parameters, you have in this plot the effect of land cover with density plot, and we could observe that for the different type of land cover, like the forest, the grassland, bare soil, we observe absolutely no effect in background site. However, for the enriched site, we could observe some difference. We could see that the grassland are very less fluxes than forest, for example. And we have particularly three high classes with mines, geothermal areas, which is probably related with the high concentration in the soil, and the wetland from one German study from contaminated wetlands. Another example is the effect of the period, the sampling period, with the comparison between daytime and nighttime. And we could observe that we have a little effect for the background as well as for enriched sites. And we have always the daytime, which is higher than the maximum of flux during the daytime, which is higher than the maximum of the nighttime. And this is probably due to the solar influence, as described in the literature. And finally, if we observe the effect of the methodology, we could observe that we don't have any effect between these two types of method, so the micrometeorological approach or the dynamic flux chamber. But if we distinguish inside the dynamic flux chamber different type of method, we could observe an effect with the different type of flushing flow rate, the flushing flow rate inside this chamber. And we observe a positive effect of this flushing flow rate with high mercury flux. And we know that some studies in the literature recommend to use high flux flushing flow rate, but we think that it's not really good to use this high flushing flow rate because we are far from the micrometeorological approach. And it's probably not necessarily a good it's not necessarily reflected of the real fluxes. So to conclude, our database shows that we have not even Lee distribution of of different sites, but we could observe a wide range of mercury fluxes between a very, very large type of land cover and the atmosphere. Concerning the environmental variables, we can observe that we have some effects of the environment, but we need to distinguish the background levels from the enriched levels, and this is probably due to the high heterogeneity between our the site found in the literature. And concerning the methodology, we could observe that we have a small effect of the different type of between a chamber method or micrometeorological approach. But if we look at some parameters, it could be influence of the mercury flux, the measurement of mercury flux. And in the future, we need to include the atmospheric ocean exchange in order to have a better database about that. So thank you, and sorry for my terrible French accent.
Any questions for Yannick Agron?
Is there a difference between North America and Europe, or
we have a big difference inside the USA, for example, because we have mining sites and we have very low fluxes in forest sites, but we don't have any big difference between different continents, because the major difference is related with the type of land cover. Don't worry.
Cool.